After he offered up once the sacrifice for many, he sat down the right hand of the throne of God.
The last blood, and I'm glad you don't have to be crucified anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ is so cleansed and awesome. Well, James chapter number 4 this morning. James chapter number 4. And once again, we'll share with you some things this morning, kind of just introducing and sharing some things regarding our theme, James chapter number 4 this morning. I mentioned to you just for the offering about the young at heart, and I was mentioning an event. I don't think I finished that thought. 2 o'clock, you don't want to miss it. 2 o'clock this Saturday at the Hinchins house. They're going to be watching a video on Corrie ten Boom's life, I believe. And it's very interesting. I've seen it and read all about that story as well. And you don't want to miss that. So keep that in mind. That's 2 o'clock on Saturday. If you're in James chapter 4, say amen.
Amen.
Start reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for once again allowing us to be in your house, gathering with your people around your word. I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, we need thee. I realize I'm nothing without you. And the only thing to be accomplished is if you do it, Lord. So I pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord, that you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with all of you, none of me. I pray, Lord, that the name of Christ would be lifted up in this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Several months ago, I began praying, as I will typically do, and really earnestly seeking the will of God, and began to ask the Lord for vision and direction for 2019 and for the upcoming year at that time. Of course, it was still 2018. And as I usually do, I begin to pray, and even in Bible time and meditation time, seek the Lord's will and asking the Lord specifically, "Lord, what's the specific direction that you want us to go? What do you want us to emphasize or focus on as a church?" And of course, as a visionary and as somebody who likes to swing for the fence, and listen, folks, I'm a mover and a shaker. I like things to move. I like things to be getting done, and I like to see progress. And as somebody like that, we begin to ask God, "Lord, what big things do you want us to accomplish this year? Oh, I know you got something big for us. What can we tackle for you, Lord? What's that big thing? What great achievements do you want Crossroads Baptist Church to strive for? And what strides do we need to make? And what mark do we need to hit? What mountains do we need to move?" And I'll be honest with you, as God began to work on my heart and in my heart, his answer wasn't what I expected. So Lord began to give me visions. The Lord began to speak to my heart and give me direction for the year 2019 and for our church. Didn't include numbers. Lord began to speak to my heart, and he began to work in my heart, but he didn't give me numbers. God didn't say, "I want you to break 200 in Sunday school," or "I want you to get over that 50 mark in King's Kids," or "I want the choir to be completely full." God didn't say, "I want you to have the biggest record-breaking Sunday that you've ever had." Didn't say any of that. His vision that he began to give to me had nothing to do with numbers. Had nothing to do with more. I said, "Okay, Lord, then what is that big thing? What big things do you want us to accomplish? What great ideas do you have for us? And great new things would you like for us to do for your good and for your glory?" And again, nothing. And finally, the Lord began to speak to my heart in a completely different way. You ever been talking to somebody and then they start talking and it's as if they didn't hear anything you said? You ever been talking to somebody and it's like they ignored because what they're saying has nothing to do with what you said? That's how it was when me and God was, you understand, not audibly, but he was speaking in my heart and he was taking it a whole other direction. had nothing to do with. I said, "Oh, wait a minute, Lord. I asked you what big achievements. Well, what's the big accomplishment? Wait a minute, Lord. You missed it. I know all that, but this is what I'm asking you." God never answered. There were no great achievements. There were no big accomplishments. There were no great undertakings and that he once ever put in her mind. No buildings to build, no ministries to start, no mountains to move. Oh, but his message was crystal clear. His message was simple. He simply said this: "I want you, and I want Crossroads Baptist Church to get closer to me, to be closer to me. I want you to focus on a greater relationship with me." God said, "What I want more than anything else in the new year is not a new program. It's not some new plans or some great new procedures for church growth or for great achievements. But what I want more than anything else is a personal walk." You see, I don't think anything that we have done and are doing is wrong. I think they're all good things. And I hope this isn't the case, but maybe it is. Maybe that's why the Lord's put it on our heart. But even good things sometimes can get you sidelined from the main thing. And God was very, very clear. He said, "The main focus to be Crossroads Baptist Church, drawing nigh to me." So our theme for the year simply is that: draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. You mean God don't want us to reach new people?" You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. You mean the Lord doesn't want us to grow?" And say that at all. But God knows, watch this, that if we get this right, then everything else will fall into place. God knows if we get this right, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Oh, it is possible to put the cart before the horse. It is possible to focus on the external. Listen to me this morning. When that does not matter, if it's not right on the internal. And God simply said, before you worry about any more of those things, focus on this thing. You've heard me say before, Marthas are necessary. Marthas are busy. Marthas are movers and shakers, and they're necessary. But you remember what Christ said. He said, "Mary hath chosen that better part." And that better part was simply sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time and communing with Him. Mary had chose that better part. Do you know there's nothing more noble? There's nothing more important? There's nothing more necessary? There's nothing more desired by God than for you and I to have a real right relationship with Him. There's nothing else you could do to please Him more. Nothing else I could do. And while society and this world is drawing further and further away from God, and while sadly so many Christians are growing even colder and colder and colder on God, you can see it throughout the church houses you walk in. You can see it throughout the communities and those that call themselves Christians, that it's cold and so many have grown cold. But I want to grow closer to Him. I want to grow even more near to Him. I want an intimacy. I want a fellowship. I want a greater relationship than ever had before with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope you want the same thing today. My earnest prayer simply is this: draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to Thy precious leading side. I want you to notice verse number 8 with me again. It says, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." He says there at the beginning, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you." I want to bring a message this morning on this thought: principles for drawing nigh. Principles for drawing nigh. In our text this morning, James gives us some timeless and true principles that if we'll follow, watch this, they're guaranteed to get us closer to God. So many times we're looking for a plan. So many times we're looking for a program. So many times we're looking for anything and everything. And can I just say this on the onset of everything this morning? There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut, by the way. There's some principles to getting close to God. Oh, but you know what? We want fast food, don't we? And we want to have it. We want instant gratification, whatever the case may be. We want it and we want it now. We don't wait for anything. But I want to tell you this morning, there is no fast track to getting close to God. It's going to take some effort on your part and my part. But God, through James, gives us some open secrets here. Aren't you glad they're not hidden? Just right here in the Word of God, of how we can draw nigh and near to the Lord, how we can get close to God. Principle number one. Now these may hurt a little bit, but they're necessary. Principle number one, are you ready for it? Drawing near to God. Relinquish your rights. Relinquish your rights. Look at me at verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's easy to say, and that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But you see, the truth of the matter is this morning, we live in a day and age where we want what we want, and it's all about us. We live in a day and age. Listen, if there's ever been a time in the history of the world where the attitude among men and women, the attitude among boys and girls is we want our rights and we have our rights and nobody's going to tell me what to do and I'm going to have it my way and I'm going to do it my way. Well, they say the famous last words of a fool, I did it my way. And that's where we live. That's what we want. And if we've ever lived in a day like that, this is that day. We live in a day where people have been taught and are being taught, question everything. Challenge authority. Question everything. That's where the society that we live in. It doesn't matter what is good. It doesn't matter what is right. It doesn't matter what is decent. It does not matter what your mother or your father told you. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. Do what you want. Have it your way. And our society has taken the attitude of have it your way to the point that they're even trying to defy and challenge who God made them to be, the person God made them to be, because they want to have it their way, right? They want an a la carte everything. And now if a man feels like a woman, if he wants to be a woman, he can unnaturally become a woman. And we live in a messed up world. Who knows that they just passed the law in New York and there's already been several babies born with a genderless birth certificate. Why? Because you get to pick, you have it your way. And I'm saying that the Bible says the way to getting close to God is not that attitude. But James says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, relinquish your rights. The word submit comes from two words, under and arrange. The words under and arrange, you can imagine pretty clear what those mean, and the word submit is a military term that literally means to arrange oneself under a commander. To put oneself, to put yourself under authority and under a commander. So here when James says submit, it means that we're to arrange ourselves under God's authority, under the Lord's control. Who knows that I'm not my own? I'm bought with the price. God owns me. When you got saved, when you partook of His free gift of salvation, we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now I belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. And while we belong to Jesus, too often times we want to give Him our soul and want Him to save our soul, but we don't want to give Him our will. And the pathway to getting close to God, it begins, first of all, with relinquishing our rights. We're to arrange ourselves under God's authority and God's control. In other words, we're to offer all we are and all we have to God without reservation. I wonder how many of us this morning could truly say we've done that. I wonder this morning how many could say that we've truly given our all to the Lord. Everything. He has full control of our life. He has all of it. Everything God wants me to do, I do every time. Everything He doesn't want me to do, I don't do. You'll never be where you could be with God until you come to the place where you're willing to let God do what He wants to do in your life and with your life and through your life. You'll never, ever be close to God until you submit to His will. Now listen, I'm not talking even about going back on the backside of the desert on a mission field somewhere. That might be the case, and God may be asking you to do that. But I'm talking about even the little things. I'm talking about even the simple, minute things that we think, well, Lord, I'm going to do it this way. I'm talking about the little things that God, so oftentimes, every single day of our life, every moment, how many things do we not yield to God on? Little things that He wants us to yield, but instead of yielding, we buck His will and we do it our way. God says, you're going to have to submit to me. You're going to have to give me your will. It's got to be my will, not your will. It's got to be my way, not your way. It's got to be my walk, not your walk. It's got to be my words, not your words. And we're going to have to submit to His will. In other words, we've got to remove ourselves off of the throne of our lives and put God on the throne of our life. We can never have a real right relationship with Him until we lay down our will, lay down our wants, lay down our desires, and say to the Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And go to God about everything. And then listen. And then listen. Rebellion will never bring you closer to God, but it'll always drive you further away. You see, I think that we get so accustomed to and so used to and so really just everyday fashion at rebelling against God in little things that we don't even think twice about it. There's a nudge over here that we ignore, that the Lord wants us to do this, but we do that. There's so many things in our life it's not even a question. We don't have to worry or wonder about, does God want me to miss church for this? We know He don't. That's not a question, but we buck His will because we want to do that. We don't have to wonder or worry if it's God's will, and we'll talk a lot more about this tonight. If we pray, we don't have to wonder if it's God's will if we read our Bible or if we go and do the other thing. We know it's God's will. But there are other things that the Lord speaks to us in an area. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't listen to that music. But what do? It's our sacred cow. We're going to listen to that music. Don't ever expect to get too close to God while you're bucking His will. We've got to relinquish our right. One of the keys to getting close to Him in 2019 is submitting to His will. By the way, it is possible. Watch this. It is possible to obey the Lord without submitting to the Lord. Did you know that? It's possible to obey the Lord. Obedience is an outward action while submission is an inward attitude. God calls us not just to obey, but to submit. As a mother told her son who's being disobedient, to go sit in the corner. The son sat there stomped over the corner, and he sat there for a few minutes. The more he sat there, the madder he got. After a couple of minutes, the little boy spoke up and he said, I might be sitting down on the outside, I'm standing on the inside. That's how we are with God. Lord, I may be here at your house, but I ain't happy about it. Lord, I may be in that ministry you want me to be in, but I'm not enjoying it. Lord, I might be submitting your will, singing in that choir. Oh, I'm seated, but in my heart I'm standing. It's important to not only do the right thing, but it's so important to have the right attitude while doing it. I'm saying we got to come to the place where we accept and embrace God's will for our life. Dr. Stephen Olford said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. If we're going to get close to God in 2019, we got to start by relinquishing our rights. I think about the Lord Jesus. He's there. He says to these that are, quote, following Him, why call you me Lord, Lord,
if you go back and read the verses previous to that, he talks about, he says, so you say I'm a master, and so I am. I'm your master. The word Lord means master. He says, so you call me a master, and you're right, I am. But he said, if I be a master, if I be your Lord, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Later on he said, they do honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What are you not submitting to God in your life that's keeping you from Him? Number one, principle number one, relinquish your rights. I want you to notice principle number two, resist the devil. Verse number 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The word resist, it's interesting, is also a military term. In fact, it's amazing if you back up and you look at this context of this passage, it's dealing with war. He starts out, whence come wars and fightings? He's talking about a war, okay? And so these are military terms. We'll say more about that in a moment. It means, this word resist, it means an all-out determination to defeat the opposition, to resist it. There's an all-out charge to defeat what's coming against you. Listen, if we don't understand that we're in a real live battle and we have a real live enemy, then we're already doomed. Because the truth is, we do have an enemy, and James tells us who it is. It's the devil. He says, resist the devil. We need to realize every day of our lives we're at war. And war is a serious thing. I want you to understand something. War is a life or death situation. We hear about war so much, sometimes we become desensitized to it. But understand something. It's a serious thing. And in this war, the devil would love to kill your marriage. In this war, the devil would love to kill your home. In this war, he would love to kill the faith and the desire to serve Jesus that your children have. In this war, listen, he would love to destroy the relationship that you have with others. Oh, I'd love to kill this church. How he would love to kill the good spirit here. How he'd love to kill the love that we have for one another here. How he would just love to kill the progress that we've made and the excitement that there is. And oh, how he would love to kill the good name that we have. Listen to me. War is a life or death situation. And like it or not, we're at war. And James says the key to winning is resisting. Now, that word resist means to stand firm. It means, Peter tells us about it. Peter also gives us the same advice about how to deal with our enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, after warning us about Satan, Peter says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He gives us the same advice as James. We're to resist their enemy. We're to resist the devil. He says, whom resist steadfast. That word steadfast is also a military term. You see, this is a battle. You're starting to get the picture here. It means to be fixed and firm, steadfast, to resist, to be fixed or firm. In other words, we're to dig into a fixed and firm position, and we're to resist. We're to stand our ground. Resist, we're to be steadfast. In other words, don't compromise our faith. Don't compromise what we believe. Ultimately, don't compromise what God said. Don't compromise His Word. You see, that position that we're to dig into, watch this, don't miss it. The position that we're to dig into, that position that we're to be fixed and firm in, is the will of God. We're to be dug in to the will of God, and we learn the Word of God, and we dig in, and we find the will of God, and we dig in. You can forget about ever resisting the devil on your own and while you're outside the will of God. See, this goes along with the last point of relinquishing your rights. As long as you want to maintain control over your life, you'll never be able to resist the devil. You'll never be able to fight off the enemy. Your power comes, listen to me, very important. Your power comes, my power comes from our surrender and our submission. This is going to sound kind of off. It's going to sound backwards to many military people. If you've been in the military, this is going to sound backwards to you or strange. But the way to victory in this war is surrender. The way to win is to lose yourself to the Lord. The way to defeating the devil is by surrendering to God. They go hand in hand. Watch it again. Verse 7. Watch it with me closely. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil.
You can't separate the two. You don't let go of this, you just grab a hold of that. You submit yourselves to God, at the same time you're resisting the devil. Because who knows, they're contrary one to another. You can't be following the devil and doing what he wants you to do and submitting to God. Oh, listen, the way to win is through surrender, through submission. We're to resist. Warren Wiersbe said, unconditional surrender is the only way to complete victory. In Matthew chapter 4, you know the text very well, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God led Jesus. The Lord Jesus had just been baptized. You remember that voice thundered from heaven, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then immediately the Bible tells us there in Matthew chapter 4 that the Lord Jesus was driven into the desert by the Spirit of God to be tempted. Now the Spirit didn't tempt him. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Bible says God tempted no man. He allows it, but he doesn't do it. So the Lord's there and he's 40 days, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he fasted, and afterward it said he was hungered. And Satan began to tempt him. Jesus is there and he's hungry. And Satan tempted Jesus. He says, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." He says, "If you be the Son of God," he says, "cast yourself down." Not once, not twice, but three times the devil tempted. He says, "If thou be the Son of God, worship me." And he says, "All these things will I give you, the whole earth." The Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. He said, "All these things will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me." Now, I want you to listen to this. Every single temptation, every time Jesus was tempted, he resisted Satan by submitting to God the Father. He said, "It is written." Every single time, he said, "Devil, you might say this, but this is what God said. This is what my Father said." Jesus submitted to the Father's will. He submitted to the Father's word. Each time he defended Satan, against Satan's attack with the Word of God. We combat Satan by submitting to the Lord's will and submitting to the Lord's way. The word resist means to dig in. It means to take a stand. It literally means here to stand alone with God. It's a word that speaks of drawing the line. Drawing a line in the sand. The word in its very most meaning tells us we have no choice. Submit to God, resist the devil. In other words, we're either going to draw a line against the devil, watch this, or we're going to draw a line against God. There's no other way. You're either going to submit to God, resist to the devil, are you going to submit to the devil and resist God? You say, "But preacher, in the world in which we live, where there are so many things to draw us away, where there are so many temptations and influences to get us to do wrong, how in the world could we ever truly resist it all?" I think about my kids and I think about my grandkids sometimes and wonder, Lord, how in the world are they ever going to stay right in a wicked world the way the world is now? James answers that question for us in verse number 6. I want you to notice it with me. "But he giveth more grace." You can't do it. We read the great verse this morning in Titus chapter number 2. I think it's verse 12. "The grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying worldliness, ungodliness, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world." It teaches us. What does the grace of God? You can't do it without God's grace. I've had people say to me many times, "Preacher, I tell you that they're struggling. They've just been saved. Haven't been saved very long. Preacher, I just can't do it." I say, "You're exactly right. You can't. And I can't. But I'm glad our strength is made perfect in His weakness." His strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we're weak, then we're strong because of Him. We need His grace every day. Principle number one, drawing nigh to God, we got to relinquish our rights. Principle number two, we got to resist the devil. Say no to him and say yes to God.
Principle number three, recommit your life. Look with me at verse number 8. What a wonderful truth. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Make a decision that you're going to begin afresh and anew. Regardless of how you failed in the past, regardless of how bad you've let Him down, regardless of how bad you've got it wrong, regardless of how many times you've gotten off track, we have a promise, hallelujah, that if we'll draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. No matter where you went wrong or what went wrong, no matter how the distance happened, begin making moves back toward God. Why do you think that James compels us and tells us to draw nigh to God? Why do you think he automatically tells us that? Because there's always some amount of distance between man and God. Now, this distance can't be measured in miles. Can't be measured in feet or inches. It can't be measured in any of those things. It's not a physical distance. It's a spiritual distance. You see, before the fall of mankind in the garden, there was no distance that existed between man and God. You'll remember God would come and walk with Adam in the cool of the day, and oh, I long for that time. We know it's coming back eventually in the kingdom. But He would come and He would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. There was no distance there. It's a wonderful fellowship and closeness between man and God. But after man fell into sin and became corrupted by sin, it created a distance between man and God. You remember that after Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit, God came one day in the garden, as every time. Of course, He already knew what happened. But He came and He begins to look around. Finally, He begins to call out, Adam, where art thou? It's a distance now. We know Adam had went and hid himself. That sin created a distance. And now watch this. You see, God hadn't moved. Adam moved. God was the same place. He came to walk with Adam, fellowship and commune, the same place they'd been every day. But Adam had moved. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 2 tells us, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face far from you. Our iniquities, our sin, this separates us from God, just like it did Adam. What happens as we live our life, the more we get out in sin, the further we get away from God. And it's not that God moves, it's that we move. And we have to begin to work our way back and find our way back. There was an old man and woman driving down an old country road in an old farm truck one day. Had the bench seat. It's not like about my truck. This new, I was telling somebody that it's got the bench seat. It's got the thing that comes down, but I like the old bench seat. Y'all can have them old bucket seats. They're riding down the road. Old married couple. The lady looks at the man. She says, honey, she says, you remember when we used to sit real close together? He said, yeah, I remember. She said, you remember we used to ride down the road and I'd sit right there in the middle seat right beside you and your arm around me? He said, oh, yes, I remember. She said, honey, how come we don't sit like that anymore? He thought about it for a moment. He said, I hadn't moved. The same place. It's not that God's moved. It's that we move, and we got to begin to take steps and get back to God. I want you to think about the prodigal son for a moment. The Bible says he took his journey into a far country. Took his journey into a far country. That prodigal. He's going away from God. Listen to me. Anytime we play the prodigal and we begin to do our will and we begin to do it our way, it always leads away from God. It always leads away from the Father. He took his journey into a far country. In other words, away from the Father. Oh, I hate to say it, I'm so sad, and what a tragic thing. Too many times we've took our journey and it's led us away from the Father. Listen to me, every time we take our journey and not His journey, is going to lead us away from Him. And when that happens, we have to stop. We have to change directions and change the way we're going. And we got to listen to Him, and we got to begin to obey Him. We got to begin to follow Him. We got to draw nigh to Him. And then there's this wonderful promise. He will draw nigh to us. There's something I want you to understand this morning. God will respect your will. He'll respect your wishes. He'll not force Himself upon you. As much as He loves you, as much as He desires to fellowship with you and have a close relationship with you, He will not force Himself upon you. He'll respect your will. Listen to me, the father of the prodigal son, think about it. He did not go out into the far country searching and begging for a son to come back, but he simply watched and waited. Hallelujah. And then when he finally did come back, when he finally came to the end of himself, and when he finally saw how empty and miserable life without the Father really was, he arose and he came home. Oh, and when he did, the Father ran to him. The Father ran out to meet him and to welcome him. And oh, what kind of same promise we have that if we'll draw nigh, if we'll start heading back, and we'll take those steps back in His direction, He will draw nigh to us, embrace us. We take one single step toward God, we'll find He's been anxiously waiting for us to do so. It's amazing how quickly God has promised to respond. It's amazing. The only place in Scripture, I was thinking about this, where it seems like God is in a hurry, is in this picture where He's portrayed as the father in this story of the prodigal son. Nowhere else in the Bible can I find where it seems that the Lord is in a hurry for anything. But it's amazing as He's running toward the prodigal son. It's amazing that when you look at how swift and how immediately the response is that we're promised. Immediately when He saw the son, the Bible says He ran. He was in a hurry. In our text, it's amazing here how swift and immediate the response is promised to you and I. Watch this. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. There's nothing in between. Nothing else has to happen. There's no waiting period of punishment we've got to go through. There's no probationary period. There's no 12-step program that we have to complete. There's no other conditions we have to meet. As soon as we take one step toward His direction, He begins to take steps toward ours. I'm glad God never says you're done. I'm glad God never says that's it. You went too far this time. You've stayed gone too long this time. There's a promise. If we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. That promise is not based on how great our sin is, but it's based on how great His love is. It's not based on what we've done or where we've been. It's based on the fact we're His child. And every single parent in here knows that there's nothing that'll ever keep you away from loving your child. Every parent in here knows that regardless of what they've done, they can always come home. When they get out there away from you and your relationship becomes strained, you're just waiting for one glance. You're just waiting for one step. You're just waiting for one move, one phone call, one letter, one text message, one visit. That's all you need. That's all you long for, to have that relationship restored. They take that step and you'll run back. How much more will a God with a perfect love receive us? What the Lord wants from every person and for every person here at Crossroads Baptist Church in 2019 is for us to draw near to Him so He can draw near to us. His great desire for us is just a closer walk with Thee. And I wonder this morning if you understand the importance of being close to God. You see, whether we are close to God or whether you're not close to God, it affects every other area of our life. As a pastor, it's so important that I stay close to God. If not, it's going to affect every single thing about this ministry. It'll even affect your life. You need me to be close to God. But I need you to be close to God. God needs us all to be close to Him and wants us all to be close to Him. as a husband and a father, it's so important that I stay close to the Lord. I can't be the husband that God wants me to be if I'm not close to Him. No way. I can't be the father that I need to be, God wants me to be, if I'm not close to Him. As just a mere Christian, I'll never be the Christian God wants us to be unless we're walking closely daily with Him. And it's the same for every one of you. But it's going to take relinquishing our rights. Getting off the throne of our life, putting God on the throne of our life. Let me ask you something this morning. Is what you're holding on to worth the space it's creating between you and God? Is it worth that void? Is what you're holding on to, that thing that you won't submit to the Lord in, is it worth the distance that currently exists between you and God? I don't understand sometimes why it's so difficult for us to submit to somebody who loves us so much, who we know has our best interest in mind. I'm going to read a little poem to you I ran across some time ago. It says, "Oh Lord, my best desire fulfill and help to resign. Oh Lord, my best desire fulfill and help to resign. Life, health, and comfort to Thy will, and make Thy pleasure mine. Why should I shrink at Thy command, whose love forbids my fears, or tremble at the gracious hand that wipes away my tears? No, rather let me freely yield what most I prize to Thee, who never hast a good withheld or wilt withhold from me." Every person in this building, if you'd be honest, you'd have to say, as Joshua said at the end of his life, "Lord, I'm an old man now, I'm fixing to die." And he says, and you know, that through all these years, not one good thing hath failed. Of all the good that you've promised me, he said, it's all come to pass, and not one good thing hath failed thereof. That's the character of the God we serve. Why is it so hard for us to submit to somebody like that? Why is it so hard for us to submit to somebody who loves us and always is looking out for us? Do we not know and believe that He has our best interest in mind? He even tells us in His Word, He says, "No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing will I withhold. If He's withholding, it's probably not a good thing. He tells us in His Word, He's not going to hold nothing back from us. Listen, He made us, He knows us, He loves us, He wants what's best for us. Yet still we think we can run our life better than He can run it. And we end up in a mess. Friend, God wants what's best for your life this morning. And He knows what's best for your life. Will you yield to Him today? You might be right in the center of the will of God. You may be doing exactly everything right. You may be doing exactly everything God wants you to do and nothing He doesn't want you to do. But do you care enough this morning while we stand to come and ask Him if you're right where you need to be? Is being close to Him important enough for you to come and say, "Lord, is there anything between me and You? Lord, is there anything in my life that needs to change? Is there anything in my life that's hindering my walk with You?" Come and simply relinquish your rights. And then you got to resist the devil. As long as you continue to have friendship with the world, you'll never have it with God. You can come now. You don't have to wait. James 4:4, if you were to back up, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Got to relinquish our rights. We got to resist the devil. We got to recommit our life. I wonder who would come this morning and say, "Oh God, I want more of You." I can't imagine anybody being satisfied with where they are with the Lord, not always wanting more. Maybe somebody come and say, "I know I've grown a little cold. I know I've grown a little distant. I know I've wandered. But today I'm taking my first step back towards You, because I know that when I do, You're going to take that next step toward me." While we sing, why don't you come now? Do business with the Lord.